Regarding Rabbeinu Yoina, it is generally accepted, as we pointed out, as we mentioned, that of course a contemporary of the Ramban, and as well as being a mechutn of the Ramban, it's interesting just to read a few lines of the Chidon Hashem Agdolim regarding an original opinion that the Chidon had. The Chidon had an original opinion based upon various research that Rabbeinu Yoina, in fact, was a Talmud of the Ramban. That was the Chidon's original opinion. And he points out and he writes that in the entry on Rabbeinu Yoina, the Chidon writes in the Sefer Shem Agdolim, he writes as a Talmud of the Ramban, and he quotes a certain source, and then he says that there's a particular Sefer called Koire HaDoiris, that argued against that point, that it's not possible that Rabbeinu Yoina was a Talmud of the Ramban. Why? Because if you take a look in the Tshuvas Ramban, and you see how the Ramban addresses Rabbeinu Yoina, and he writes, Bekovod Godel. And therefore, this is supposed to mean, if you see the Ramban in the Tshuva, when he addresses Rabbeinu Yoina with such kovod, it's not likely that this would be a Talmud, because a Rebbe does not address a Talmud with such great titles. So the Chidon says, Ein zu raya. That alone is not a raya that Rabbeinu Yoina is not a Talmud of Ramban. It's very possible that Rabbeinu Yoina still was a Talmud of Ramban. The Kivin de Hiflig b'chokhmah, but he was so great in chokhmah, the Seder Kedusha, so Mele Poligle Rabbe Yikre. So his Rebbe gave him a lot of kovod. So from that point alone, he says, I would not reject the idea, says the Chidon. I could still maintain the idea that Rabbeinu Yoina might be a Talmud of Ramban. So you realize there are those that held that Rabbeinu Yoina was a Talmud of Ramban. However, the Chidon goes on to say, I found the clincher, which is considered to be the final, in my opinion, says the Chidon, in my opinion, that Rabbeinu Yoina definitely was not a Talmud of Ramban. But rather, they were contemporaries, of course, and that's contemporaries. They were like equals. He wasn't his Rebbe and he was not his Rebbe. What is the raya? So he says, because the Beis Yosef brings down a Tshuvas HaRashba regarding that medicine, regarding that a Jewish doctor is supposed to heal everyone, you know, Jewish people, non-Jewish people. But there was a situation in those days where the Jews were very much oppressed by the Gentile neighbors. An interesting thing is, Ramban was a physician, as we have mentioned. And as a physician as such, it turns out from this particular tshuva, very interesting, that Ramban delivered a non-Jewish baby by a non-Jewish woman, of course. And being that this was at a time when Jews were very much, very vulnerable, and they were very afraid regarding this Goyish situation, we find that Rabbeinu Yoina writes the following lashon against the Ramban. And he writes, Kos av Ramban Zal, Ramban writes regarding a certain situation. So he writes to the Ramban, Rabbeinu Yoina, and he writes it sarcastically, Tovo elecho brocho, shatamar bizarre shel amolik. By delivering, he says, that baby, you're being mar bizarre shel amolik. You're increasing the descendants of Amalek. We're not getting into this parsha, but it's here becomes clear. A Talmud would not say this and write that way, would not criticize his Rebbe that way. That certainly would not be. A Rebbe giving a lot of kovod to a Talmud, that we have heard of, says the Chidon. But for a Talmud to criticize his Rebbe with such hard words, that would not be possible. Being that we find Rabbeinu Yoina writing that way to the Rambam, so Mele, says the Chidon, that proves it for me that Rabbeinu Yoina was not, definitely not, a Talmud of Ramban, but as we mentioned, there were equal peers and so on and so forth. Interesting thing is that the Rosh writes in Sefer Orchis Chaim, the Rosh writes, among the Hanhogis, in ways that a Yid should basically conduct himself in his daily way. He does his davening, and he does his learning, he does acts of chesed, and so on. But among the various anhogis, the particular entry the Rosh writes, particularly in the week of Rosh Hashanah, in Chodesh Elul, sheyikra igeres hatshuva shechibur Rabbeinu Yoina Zal. The Rosh writes that. The Rosh writes that in these particular times, a week before Rosh Hashanah, if you really want to get the proper encouragement and the proper motivation to do tshuva, so the Rosh writes, what I suggest is that a person should learn the Igeres HaTshuva Shechibra Ben Yoina B'Shvua SheYochel Rosh Hashanah Liz B'Soich in that particular week. Because that is the week that we need all the motivation, if Don't take the opportunity of those times. So the best sefer, the Rosh Tzedek upon that a person should use is the sefer Igeres HaTshuva. We're learning Shari Tshuva, but there's also Igeres HaTshuva. Many different svarim on Musa and Rabbeinu Yoyne. And he writes regarding Igeres HaTshuva of Rabbeinu Yoyne. We should just mention that a few weeks ago, when we were discussing and mentioning what's taking place in Spain now, as we speak again still, which there is, it's a very painful situation. I believe I've mentioned that in my visit to Spain, which I went pushed because to try to discover, I get very emotional going back and walking in the footsteps, you know, of the giants, and that is supposed to be mispalad the kvarim of the people that we speak about all the time. And so I spent a little time, actually a little time, a few hours as it were, one day in Girona, not far from Barcelona. And there is nothing there of any kvarim of the Rishonim, particularly in Toledo. Rabbeinu Yoyne, you know, as he mentioned, he lived originally in Girona, and then he had decided to go to Eretz Yisrael, but you don't go straight like today, non-stop, because there was a lot of stops on the way. He made his way to Barcelona, because that was the Derech, that's the next big city, it's the coast city. Lemaisi was not able to leave from Barcelona, because once Rabbeinu Yoyne visited there, they held him up there, and he had to spend time and give shiurim and so on and so forth. From there he made his way to Toledo, which is the place where the Rosh later lived. The Rosh was later than him. The Balaturim, Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, you know, all the great people, they lived basically in Toledo, and Rabbeinu Yoyne wasn't allowed to leave there either. He intended to continue on from there to Eretz Yisrael, but he was nifter. So the cave of Rabbeinu Yoyne is in Toledo, the cave of the Rosh is in Toledo, the cave of the Balaturim is Toledo, and all the other great sons of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yehuda, Ben Harosh, and so on. And all the greats of before and after who spent time in Toledo. And there is, mamish, there's no zecher of anything. There's no zecher of anything. I couldn't find anything, and it was nothing. Turns out that there is an ancient Beis HaChaim, but you could never tell it's a Beis HaChaim because there are no matzevas there. Everything is clearly wiped out. There's nothing. And it has been suggested also by certain experts that the reason that there are no matzevas, no tombstones there, is not simply because the goyim, the non-Jews, simply broke them, which is very, very possible. But also the reason is the Jewish population were always worried about the desecration of the cemeteries. They didn't want to have official tombstones marking the kvarim of the great people that they shouldn't be desecrated. So like this, you don't recognize where there's a cave or where there's not a cave. The bottom line, there is no siman, there's no zecher really of any matzeva, any tombstones. Archaeologists have unearthed and have exhumed, by now it's about, I believe, 100 kvarim have been opened up. Literally, atzomas have been taken out, bones have been taken out. And that this has been alerted the Jewish community over there. There's not much of a Jewish community to speak of, but they made contact with Eretz Yisrael, Asr Kaddish, and so on and so forth. It made contact with activists in Brooklyn, here in New York, and they flew down there and had meetings with government officials and so on and so forth, really strongly protesting, because the interesting thing, the Jewish agency, who is non-frum, non-religious in Spain, gave the okay. What was the okay? The okay was because they wanted to build, the government wanted to build massive buildings on that spot, so the arrangement was that they will take out and basically reinter, and move the cemetery, take out all the atzamas, and just rebury them someplace else. And the opposition came from the frum community that this is not acceptable. You don't move kvarim. This has been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. And at least let the dead, the deceased, rest in peace. And these are kvarim kedoshim. And as far as we know, this is dated back to those tkufis. You never know. This could be literally these are the places, the mokim menucha of mamish, the rishonim, the kedosh elyon, which the world stands on. This is the Torah that we learn to this day. It would be very frightening to think that their atzomus had been really, desecrated and has been moved away. So there was a temporary stop because of the protests and the demonstrations, and then there was threatening to start all over again. So recently, a few days ago, there was a massive protest about a lot of people who went down in front of the Spanish embassy here to voice the outcry of the Orthodox Jewish community and anybody else who also has feelings for that, to stop it and to try to block it. So as we speak, this is still an ongoing milchama, has not yet been settled. First, we want to get back. They should give us back the atzomas. And not only that, to give back the atzomas, but basically to have them put back from where they were taken out of. So it's a sad situation which is going on, which has not been settled, but is being worked on very strongly. So you start here, Rabbeinu Yoina, also mentioning, so there's no tombstone, but there is on record the lines of the Matzeva of Rabbeinu Yoina. That's really why, also why I'm mentioning this. Just give you a couple of lines of the Nusach HaMatzeva that has been recorded of Rabbeinu Yoina. Basically, it writes as follows. It writes, Nignaz Bekever Ze Avi HaTeuda. That hidden away in this kever is the father of accomplishment. Chemdas Yisrael v'Yehuda, the one who is the most desirable, the desirable treasure of Klal Yisrael and Yehuda. Horav, it is the Rebbe Asher, Higid Talum Es Chochma, the Rebbe basically who taught and spoke forth all the hidden secrets of Chochma, V'hoitzi L'or Mishpateo, and brought forth the Dinam of the Torah. He publicized it, taught it, the Heirel Ever Panel, and allowed it to illuminate all across, all over. Mayan HaChochma V'Atvuna, the wellspring, the source of Chochma, wisdom and understanding. Menoiras HaMoir, the literal Menoira, the candelabra that illuminates. Hayoitzi Mitzedeo, whose branches come out, Kenei Chochma, Kenei Bino. Branches of wisdom and branches of understanding. Harav HaGodol HaChosid Rubenu Yoyne. Ben Kvoid HaChochem HaNichbor Bavron Megirona. Ti Nishmosoi or Ti Nafshoi says Srura B'Tzorachayim, let his Neshama be bound with the bound of the living, the eternal living. And it says, Umatsevas Kvorosoi, this Matseva of his Kvura is Mizbeach Kapora. For whoever who comes here, this is a place. If you're seeking to have atonement for your Averis, just come here to this holy place. Bad Asheris HaNishor, for all those that are remaining alive, have the Schus to come to this Matseva and to consider it to be a Mazbeach Kaporet. So these are some of the lines of the Nusach HaMatzeva of Rabbeinu Yoina. So we are here in the Shaar Rishon, Rabbi Yisai, and we are at Ois Vov. We are at Ois Vov. Ben Yoina continues on and he says, Va'ato, and now Bino Shimozois, to realize he's using these double Lashonis. He wants to impress upon you. Bino means understand, and Shimo means hear. Understand and hear. What is this double ocean? Understand and hear. Obviously, you have to hear first, and then you're going to understand. But what he means to say is, when he says, Bino, v'shima zois, it means that even when a person understands in his mind, but shima means to absorb that, absorb the message, that it becomes part of your lave, that you take it from the mind, from the moyach, into your heart. Bino, understand it intellectually, and shima zois. And also, basically, you feel it, you have the hargosha. You experience this knowledge. Live with this knowledge. And what is that? As I'm going to tell you, because kihu ikar godel, because this is the very main point that I want to teach you, says Rabbeinu Yoina here. And that is as follows. Because in the past, Seifim, he has pointed out the importance that a person does not allow an avera to linger on, but rather a person should try to do tshuva as soon as possible. And he pointed out the many advantages to that fact. And now he goes on to say, Emes Adover, it is very true, ki yesh min atzadikim shenichsholim b'chet lepomim. Ben Yoyle basically is telling us the difference between a tzadik and a non-tzadik is not that a tzadik never sins. That's not true. There are tzadikim that also sin. Every human being has the capability to sin. Ki yesh min atzadikim, we're talking about tzadikim. Tzadikim, you realize who Ben Yoyle calls tzadikim. Realize the great hasogi. Someone who's called a tzadik by the standard of Ben Yoyle has to be a great, great tzadik. And Rabbi Yoina says the tzaddikim sometimes they are nichshol b'chet l'pomim. Kinyin shenemar, because it says in Koheles ki odom ein tzaddik b'oretz. Shlomo Melech says in Koheles there really is no such tzaddik in this world ashi yase toiv lo yechto. They can only do good and never sin. So Shlomo Melech already sets forth that every human being will sin here or there. Once in a while he will sin. During a lifetime he will sin. Doesn't say how many times. But he will sin. He will sin. Certainly once, maybe twice, maybe three times, maybe four times. But ein tzadik baretz asher yaseh tov lo yechto. It is just noteworthy to point out over here that Rabbeinu Yoina, you see, you look at the choice words. Again, we're talking about Rishonim over here, which are very medagdic. Every word is very precise. And he takes on the position of Tosfos Masechet Shabbos Daf Nun Hei. If you take the posuk in Koheles, ki odom ein tzadik, you translate this pasuk literally, it translates as follows. The literal translation: Ki Adam ein tzaddik baretz. There is no such tzaddik asher yase toiv leyechto. Tosfos says in Sechta Shabbos, it does not mean as a klal that there is no one. Which what Melchim means to say is that many and some tzaddikim. When the pasuk says ki Adam ein tzaddik baretz asher yase toiv, Tosfos said this is not a klal that it must be that it's absolutely impossible. Every tzaddik must sin. What the pasuk means to say is that there is a must that some tzaddikim will sin. That's going to be a fact. Some. And if you take a look again, Rabbeinu Yonah, he seems to hold the same way, because let's start again. When he says, Ki hu ikr godol, start again. Emes adover, ki yesh min atzadikim, shenichsholim b'chet l'pomim. You see, Rabbeinu Yonah does not say that every tzaddik will be nichshol. It's an important nekuda to realize. He says, some of the tzaddikim will sometimes be chayte. He clearly does not say all of the tzaddikim. Does not say all the tzaddikim. So in any case, so Rabbi Yonah says, the fact is, tzaddikim will sin as well. Tzaddikim will sin as well. What is the difference, though? What is the difference between a tzaddik who sins or anybody else? The difference is, ochein, however, koivshim es yitzrom ma'aspam. However, the tzaddik will be able, 100 times he'll conquer his yitzhahara. Maybe 1 out of 100 times he'll sin. 5 times out of 100. The tzaddik basically is, in most situations, will not sin. That's why he's a tzaddik. But does not preclude the fact that he may never sin. Many tzaddikim will sin. However, 100 times, he says, when they are confronted with their yetzer, they will be goyver. They will be kovish. They will conquer. And vim yiplu b'chet pamachas. And if in fact it turns out that once in a while that they will sin, this tzaddik, lo yishnu loy, they will not repeat it. That's why he's a tzaddik. A tzaddik may fall, a tzaddik may slip. But he'll make sure to try to be careful. Now he's on alert. Now he's aware. Now he sees the area of weakness. He analyzes the situation. He says, why did I sin? Why did I fall? Why did I slip? What was the situation? Maybe now I should avoid it. What was the particular situation that led me to this? And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, yes, yes, a tzaddik will sin. He might sin. But the nekuda is that most cases he won't. But once in a while when he does, he'll see not to repeat it. The word v'nokoytu here is based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. Yecheskel capital Vav, there's a pasuk v'nokoytu b'fneim. It means the avera is loathsome in his eyes. V'nokoytu b'fneim. The tzaddik, when he sins, the avera in his eyes is so loathsome, he loathes it. And as a result, v'chayzer mitshuvah. That's the point. That is the difference. That is the ultimate difference. A tzaddik, yes, might sin. However, the avera is so far from his essence, from his true essence, even though he slipped, that he will see to do tshuva as soon as possible, immediately. That is a tzaddik. That's how we define a tzaddik. However, says Rabbeinu Yonah, ach koil asher einoy nizer mechet yidua. However, a person who basically is not careful, but a chet yidua means everybody knows within himself which avera he's more prone to do. If you know within your lifestyle, you know within your weakness where you have an area of weakness, so that's the area that you have to concentrate. Those people who do not take the means, who do not utilize the koiches, in spite of knowing the chet yedua, they know a particular chet which is within their system. The eino mekabel al nafshu lehishomra mimenu. And he's not mekabel upon himself in order from now on to be able to be careful, to watch over himself. And now there's 2 things you have to realize. Again, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying 2 phrases over here. Number one, he is not careful from sinning over again. He's not careful. He does not take the precaution. But in addition to not taking the precaution, he's not even making it as a resolution. People, you know, come New Year's, Lahav, Lagoy, you make all kinds of resolutions. At least you're Mekabo. They all fail. Let's say most of them fail. But you made at least a resolution. Resolution means at least you have a goal, at least superficially you have a goal. I'm not sure how deeply even they meant that goal. Most people. But at least if they're mekabel upon themselves, at least they have a goal. Now, you have the goal, but when it comes down to lamaisa, they're just not careful. Because it's too tempting. Ben Yoina talks about people, not only they're not careful of slipping, but they're not even mekabel. That's even 2 steps away. They're not even mekabel upon themselves. Not even making a resolution for the right thing. That's what he's saying. Ve'ena mekabel nafshili shomra memenu. He's not being mekabel upon himself. That's called a pyrek ol. A pyrek ol means someone who is not ready to accept responsibility as a servant of Hashem. A pyrek ol. Someone who is removing the yoke from himself. So he says, Gam imhu mohavoines hakalim, even if it happens to be one of the, let's call it, the smallest of averis, the lightest of averis. Afal pishuhu nizer mikol averis shebetoyer. Look what Ben Yoni is saying. Saying very frightening words. Ben Yoni says you can have a yid who, listen, there's 613 mitzvahs. There's 365 mitzvahs loisese. This is a person, by our standards, would be a tzaddik. You know what? He keeps 99.9. But there's one. There's one avera that he says, you know what? He says to himself, look, nobody's a tzaddik everywhere. Here's one avera, you know, that I'll just once be so careful about it. In other words, it's a plan, it's a shit. It's a philosophy. It's not by accident he happens to be doing the avera. Or he was tempted. He's just not, doesn't care about this particular avera. All other mitzvahs he does. But one avera, he just says, it's not important. At least in his mind. He doesn't come out and say it. Even if he is nizor mikol avera shebetoyre, koruhu chachme Yisrael, he is classified by the chachme Yisrael, by the sages, mumer l'dover echot. He's considered to be a mumer l'dover echot. For this avera, he's called a mumer. A mumer means someone who's like he's a heretic. At least for this one thing. In this one area, at least. He's like a heretic. He's like an apikairis. In this one thing. The person will say, what do you mean? I'm keeping, come out all the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs, not just, I'm very careful about all the mitzvahs. I'm conscientious about all the mitzvahs. But if bishite, if a person does a chet, because he did a chet, he was nichshel, is one thing. But if a person basically just decides to neglect one particular area of the Torah, so if you decide, decidedly, you just neglect, because this area, you know, you're just saying, you know, I'm just not going to keep this particular area. Even if you are careful about all averus shebetoyre, a person is called a mumer, the es poishim nimno, and therefore he is on the list of those that are called poishim. He's on the list of those that are called transgressors. And to be called a poishim Yisrael, you can be called a poishim Yisrael. It's a frightening thing. A person basically can keep on the highest level all the mitzvahs of the Torah. If there's one area, it is one area that poishim is not important to him, you'd be called a poishim Yisrael. So basically could mean a person could daven 3 times a day. You can eat only kosher food. But you know what? He has no problem stealing in business. It's no problem. It's not that something... He has no problem with it. He'd be called a posh Yisrael. So in the same way that someone, you know, who is... You say to yourself, well, this person is not a Shomer Shabbos. And you are a Shomer Shabbos. You say to yourself, I'm firmer than he is. Because I'm a Shomer Shabbos, he's not a Shomer Shabbos. But on the other hand, maybe you're stealing. Maybe you're doing other things. Who says... And we don't go, it does not measure by the fact that Shabbos might be more important than something else. Because bishita, if someone is a perikol, if someone is negligent, willfully, knowingly, in any area of the Torah, he's called a mumer. So he says, v'godoil avoyna minisai. And therefore his avera is on a level that's godoil avoyna minisai. It's expression as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have difficulty forgiving you because you are bishita. You have this philosophy, Bahashkofa, you are neglecting this Avera. He points out, because you have to understand, if a person has this kind of an attitude, imagine if an Evid says to his master, he says like this, a person bought an Evid, right? When people had slaves, they bought an Evid. But imagine if somebody had an Evid, and the Evid says to his master, you know what? I'm ready to serve you, you know, from day to night, everything you tell me. But there's one thing I just won't do. Says Rabbeinu Yoine, that's not called an Evid anymore. It is not 99% of the time he is an Evid. One time he's not an Evid. The fact that he decides what to do, what not to do, then even when he does it, he's doing it because he wants to do it. It's not because he's an Evid. He's not under the jurisdiction of his master. You lost the title of being called an Evid, he says. If an Evid says to his Rebbe, says to his master, everything you tell me to do, I will do. Except one thing I will not do. What that means is, he already broke the yoke of his master. Even though it's only one thing. And it means that what he's doing is only doing what's right in his eyes. What Rabbi Yoin is saying here is something even deeper than we're translating. What he's saying is as follows. He says, if an Evid says to his master, I'm ready to everything that you tell me except one thing, then even when he does what the master tells him, he's really doing what he wants to do. He's not really doing it under the instructions of the master. That's what he says. The Hayosh Rabbein of Yaseh. It turns out that even when he is doing the Ratzon of his master, even when he is doing the Ratzon of his master, he's doing his own will, not his master's will. Because he had set the guidelines. He set the guy, he decided what he is going to do, what he's not going to do. So when he does some of the things that his master tells him, it's not because his master told him to do it. It turns out because he agrees to do it, because he wants to do it. So it turns out, v'hayosher bein aviyase, that basically he's only doing that which he wants to do. That is called a peirikol, one who has removed the yoke upon him, from himself. V'aloinyan hazeh nemar. And regarding this type of an attitude, we find the Pasuk tells us, Orur asher lo yokim es divrei ha-Torah hazois lasis oisom. There's a Pasuk in the Torah that says that the man will be cursed who will not uphold the words of the Torah. Now there's many different interpretations in what area are we talking about. What does it mean, Orur, the words, Orur asher lo yokim es divrei ha-Torah hazois? By the way, just agav as an aside, the Chasam Sofer B'derech Remez in Emokim shows that this is the Pasuk. The Minig Yisroel, of course, is after Kriyas HaTorah, and then there's Yisroel is before Kriyas HaTorah, you know, you go Hagbah. Lifting up the Sefer Torah, before the Sefer Torah is being put back into the Oran Kodesh, after the Kriyas HaTorah, the Sefer Torah is being lifted. So, of course, this is a Minig Yisroel, this is the way it is done. The Chasam Sofer points out that there's a remez in the Torah to do Hagbah. There's a remez in the Torah to lift up the Torah. Orer asher lo yokim es divra HaTorah azois. The Torah has to be yokim, it has to be uplifted. And Boruch, and the opposite, blessed be the one who is Mekayim, who is Yokim, who upholds the Torah. So uphold can be meant literally, to uphold it, to actually lift it up. So Sofer uses this posik of Ora Shelo Yokim and Boruch, the one who is Mekayim, to be a remez for the mitzvah Hagbah that the Torah should be lifted up. So it's a very fascinating thing, how this posik, how it can be looked at. But Rabbi Yoni says, you know what the posik means? You know the meaning of the posik of this posik, Ora Shelo Yokim. What does Lo Yokim mean? One will not uphold. Beyuroi. Interpretation is Ashel Yekabel Al Nafshoy Lekayim Kol Divra Torah Meroish Vatzoyf. That is Oru. A person at least has to have a resolution, has to have a Kabbalah that is ready to be Mekabel all the mitzvahs HaTorah. A person who decides that he's going to be Mekabel a chelik of the mitzvahs, and the other chelik of the mitzvahs he's not going to be Mekabel, is not being Mekayim, is over on Loyokim. Loyokim means to accept the entire Torah from beginning to end. And he says further, an indication that this, in fact, is what the Torah alludes to, v'yoyra al zeh omroi, he says, what one can really tell, that this is the kavon of the posik, because it says, asher lo yokim lasois. Lo yokim, what is lo yokim lasois? He will not uphold to do. What does it mean, uphold to do? It should have said, v'lo yomar, it doesn't say, asher lo yasoisam. This orur, this curse, is not talking about a person simply who is not mekayim mitzvahs. People are not mekayim mitzvahs for many, many reasons. There could be many, many reasons. But we're talking about a person that at least should have a resolution, should want to be Mekayim the Torah, should at least be Mekabel upon himself. A person who's not even Mekabel upon himself to do all of the mitzvahs, that is Orur. Or Ashelo Yokim Lasseis. I'm not talking whether he actually did it or not. But at least Ashelo Yokim Lasseis, he's not ready to accept it upon himself. If he's not ready to accept it upon himself, that is what the Pasuk is really indicting the person for. So Ben Yonah therefore says, a tzaddik sins also. And yet he's still a tzaddik. Does not take away from his title of a tzaddik. So a tzaddik might sin. However, the difference is when a tzaddik sins, he right away ceases to do tshuva. But you could have a person who's mekayim kol mitzvah shebetoyrim, but one a mitzvah or one avera, he just allows to be negligent upon it. And he's not even mekabel upon himself to try to do it. This person is called a pesheya. This person is called an actual pesheya. He's called a mumer ledover echot. This is what Rabbi Yoina says, Bino Shimo Zois. Please understand, sinning does not make one not a tzaddik. He said, you can be a tzaddik can sin. But the attitude of a tzaddik, question is, what is your attitude after you sin? Now what do you do about it? After the fact. So this is the difference between a tzaddik, that separates the tzaddik and from anybody else. And then he goes further. V'oy teida, there's another thing I want you to know. I want you to know something else. Now, what Rabbi Yoin wants to say is as follows. Assuming that a person really was mekabel upon himself, so at least that's the first step. He at least has a resolution, he's mekabel upon himself to try to do all the mitzvahs. But however, he continuously fails in one area. Continuously failing one area is also a dangerous situation. Failing here and there, but continuously failing one area, says Rabbi Yoin, you have to be very careful. Meaning is, if you fail, but at least try to do tshuva. If you try to do tshuva, then you won't fail so soon again. At least not right away. Ben Yoin says, I want you to know the following. Ki hashoyne avera achas eser pomim. A person who basically repeats an Aveira, he says, 10 times, it means many, many times. Afal Pishin Nizar Mikolo Averis, even though he is observant in all other Averis, but one particular Avera, he violates, let's say 10 times, many times. Hine hu nechshav ke over al Averis Chalukos. We view this person as if he was over many different Averis. The same Avera repeatedly is no different than doing 5 different Averis. Person sometimes says to himself like this, look, my neighbor, he's not frum. You know why? He's not Shomer Shabbos. He has a whole list of things that he violates. He's not Shomer Shabbos. He does not eat kosher. Maybe, again, he's involved in unethical practices. And he has a whole list of things. 5 different Averis on his neighbor. On himself, he says, well, I only have 1 Avera. But you know what? You have only 1 Avera. But if you do that Avera 5 times, that matches the number 5 of the other person. The fact that the person's 5 are 5 different Averas, and your same Avera, repeating the same Avera 5 times, between you and Hashem, the same Avera 5 times is no different or 5 single other Averas. It's the same thing, says Rabbeinu Yonah. So you're just as unfrum as he is. You're just the same. You're no better than that other person. You say, I'm Kayim Kol HaTorah Kula. I'm only over 1 Avera. The other person, look, has a whole list of Averas. But if you count how many times you're over that single Avera in a amount, then you're the same thing. It doesn't make a difference what the label of that Avera is. Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to say, Hinei hu nechshav ke'over al Averas Chalukos. That same Avera that he repeatedly is over is considered like 5 different Averas, 10 different Averas. V'chein omru Rabbi Seinu d'chroim l'bracha, we know that the Chachonim said, Mesechtes Malkus, Kim yoimru l'nozer. A nozer we know is not allowed to drink wine. So a nozer, if they warned him, he said to him, Al tishta, do not drink wine. V'hu shoysen. And he drank. Then they warned him again, Al tishta, do not drink. V'hu shoysen, he drinks again. The same Avera, repeatedly. Loike b'achroine, so at the end, he's going to be chayiv akolachas vachas. He's going to get as many stripes, as many malkas, for every time that he violated. So what do you see? That each time he drank, right, there is malkas for each Avera. Even though it's the same Avera over and over again. It shows because the fact that the Avera has been done a second time, a third time, it's like a separate, totally like a totally different Avera. So he says, it's kemishpat. There's no difference. He is exactly in the same standard. Imagine a person eats treif, that's 1 Avera. Behemet temeya, he eats from a non-kosher animal. He eats from a pig, a camel, a horse. Chelev, then he eats the forbidden fat. Dam, he eats blood. So here you have a cheshbon, let's say 4 Averas. Instead of doing 4 Averas, you have a person who does the same Avera 4 times. Just a transgressor. Same thing as the other person. You're violated the same way, he says. You're not on a higher madrega. People sometimes tell themselves, I'm so frum. I do all the mitzvahs in the Torah. There's one area. Everybody sins here and there. But he says to himself, but I'm a frum person. The other person's not frum. The other person's not keeping anything. I'm keeping everything. Then he only says that that's an excuse in your mind. Because the Aver that you're repeating over and over again is no different than the other person doing 5 separate Averis. And I'll go on further what he says. He said, V'roya Re'inu, we have seen, Ki Rabu Avoynes Hador Al Zois. We see that many people in the generation really fall into this trap. They think by repeating the same Avera many times, he's only dealing with 1 Avera. No, repeating the same Avera 5 times is like 5 different Averis. It's not just dealing with 1 Avera. Every time is a different Avera. Kiyesh Anoshim Rabin, says Rabbeinu Yonah, makes it quite clear to us. There are many people. Mekabalim al Nafshom. By the way, there are some who are Goyris over here. The Girsa is that Ein Mekabalim al Nafshom. That's the way it seems to flow. There are people. Lehizor ma Averis Yiduis, v'chol Yemei Chayim Einam Nizorim. There are people that certain Averis throughout their lifetime, they're just not careful about them. Avalin Etzlam Keheter. In their minds, it's like Mutter. It's not forbidden. There are certain areas in the Torah that people have just made up their minds. This is not forbidden for me. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, I want you to know that if Ilu Lohoyu Nahagin came Rak Al Avera Achas. Now the truth is, if they would have had this attitude regarding only 1 Avera, it's very terrible, as he said before, as bad as it is. He says, Choyli Rahu Benafshom. This is considered to be a very sick disease in their neshama, because we pointed out, repeating the same Avera many times is like doing many different Averas. It's like doing many different Averas. But he says, Kasha B'yarnu, as we pointed out. The problem is in our generations, unfortunately, it's not limited to 1 Avera. People abandon many Averas. It says, Afkin oyhagin came, but the fact is, people conduct themselves this way, al azores rabbis, on many of the prohibitions. Ubehenu menachamuris, and some are very serious ones. But they're not knowledgeable. They don't realize that some of the averis that they think are not so important are very serious averis. And he gives an example. Kamoy shvuas chinam. Ben Yoni says that even in his day, there are people who sometimes swear in vain. Swearing in vain, by the way, does not mean swearing falsely. That everybody would understand, most everybody, that this is a serious thing. But swearing for nothing means to say, is, as Rashi tells us in Chumash, there's a table which is clearly made out of wood, and he says, you know what, I swear, he says, that this is wood. Which is unnecessary. Everybody can see that it's wood. So people think that Shvuas Chinam, after all, I didn't lie, but yet you may use Hashem's name in a Shvuah. So it is an Aveira. Or Mekalos Chavero Yisatzmoy Bashem. Or let's say he curses his friend, or even sometimes himself. Sometimes a person gets so angry at himself for what he did, that he allows words of curse words to come out of his mouth on himself. Vaskor Hashem Shemaim Levatola. Or a person mentions the name of Hashem Levatola for nothing. Or he mentions Hashem's name in an area which is not clean. It would be something like in a bathroom or similar. With his hands being unclean. He should have washed his hands first and so on and so forth. His hands are dirty. Or someone who closes his eyes as if the oni, the poor man, doesn't exist. He says to himself, look, I didn't take away anything. I just didn't give him. People rationalize a lot of acts. Certain situations, by trying to minimize, he says, the element of aveira, by saying, after all, I only spoke, I didn't do, I only thought it. I didn't really act on it. It's something that I didn't do. It's not what I did do. Halomas ayim and oni. So halomas ayim and oni basically says, it's what I didn't do. It's not, I didn't do anything bad to the oni. It's what I didn't do. I was malamai. I said, I didn't look at him. I made believe as if he doesn't exist. Veloshin hara. Or the case of loshin hara. A person says, all I did was speak slander. I just spoke. I didn't physically attack him. I didn't physically do something to him. I didn't physically pinch him. I didn't twist his arm. All I did was speak. V'sinas chinam, or baseless hatred. Or v'gavu salev, that's gaiva, arrogance, haughtiness. Unesinas chitis. Sinas chitis, interesting thing. Unesinas chitis is an expression means of imposing one's fear on people. Ki ochel teis pachdecho, where the Pasuk says, or it says, loichos. Loichos means not to be afraid of. Not to be afraid of. Loichos. The word chos meaning people who are in position like a parnas. People who are matil, eima yiseir al tzibur, who take their positions to use it for power, to be able to dominate people. That is a serious aveira. That's what it means. Unesinas chitis. To impose their fear because they are in positions of power. So they abuse that power to be able to belittle people and to dominate people. Or istakel barayis, or someone basically uses his eyes to gaze on things that are immoral. Ubitl Talmud Torah keneged kulon. And then the bitl of Talmud Torah. Wasting time from learning, and so on and so forth. Barabu is kele. And Rabbeinu Yoni says, I could go on, but I just want to give you an example of certain things that sometimes people say, mistakel barayis. All I did was look. I didn't do anything. All I did was look. So I looked at our eyes. I looked at things that are immodest. I looked at things that we say are inappropriate, but all I did was look. I didn't act on it. I didn't do anything. This is what Ben Yoni points out. There are averis that people sometimes do not even realize, as he says, "Ubaheinu min achamurais, kosavnu miktsoson el bnei hador." He says, "I gave you an example of just some of them for the people of our generation, lahaskiram, that they should be reminded, lahaziram, they should be warned about this. They should realize." There's no such thing really as a small aveira, and certainly there are very serious aveiras that you don't always understand. And then finally he says, V'chein royu l'chol bale tshuva. As the truth is, this is really appropriate for every bale tshuva, lichtoy b'megillah sefer, should really have a pad. And write down, he says, hadvarim asher nichshelu behem. It's good for a bale tshuva to write down, to make a list of things that really the areas that he was unsuccessful in his past life, the hamitzvahs, and even the good deeds that he did, as a balchuvah, you're going to do them better. So in relation, everything's relative. Even the mitzvahs that one did in his past, but if he becomes a balchuvah, he realizes that in the real way of doing mitzvahs, in his newly attained status, the old way, he realizes he really did not do the mitzvahs the way they could have been done. So the tshuva has to be done even on the mitzvahs as well. The mitzvahs asher kitzru b'kiyuma, those mitzvahs that were fell short of being mekayim them appropriately. So you write down all the areas that need to be fixed, all the areas that need to be elevated, all the areas that basically that need to be adjusted. And from time to time, he says, he suggests even on a daily basis, just to be reminded of the seriousness of all those averas. Velikroi b'sefer zichroi noisom b'chol yoyim. To go ahead, he says, every day, and to go over it. This way, a person will always be mindful. Will always be mindful regarding his past, regarding the averas, and therefore will always be in the position to knowing that he has to do tshuva immediately. Let me just point out once in a particular vad, Rav Matisyahu Solomon pointed out. We mentioned right at the opening part of Sivov from Rabbeinu Yoyne. Rabbeinu Yoyne says that there are some tzaddikim who are nichshol b'chet, and we pointed out that Rabbeinu Yoyne's loshim means to say is that not all, doesn't mean that all tzaddikim necessarily b'chet. There are opinions that say that every human being will sin once in a while. Rabbeinu Yoyne doesn't say that. Rabbeinu Yoyne says ki yesh, that there definitely will be some tzaddikim that will sin. Now the Pasuk, after all, does not seem to imply that. The Pasuk seems to make a general rule for everybody. The Pasuk says again, ki odom ein tzaddik be'aretz, there is no tzaddik on this earth, asher yase tov v'lo yechto, that can do only good, right, and good. So he points out that the shita of Rabbeinu Yoyne that seems to hold that there are yet there are tzaddikim who do not have to sin, who will not sin, and yet the Pasuk again says, Ki Odom Ein Tzadik Bar, there is no such tzadik who doesn't sin. So the Shoah Solomon suggested that maybe, because let's read the Pasuk again. The Pasuk says, yes, the Pasuk says, no tzadik, there is no tzadik that will not sin. But there's one more word. The Losh of the Pasuk is, Ki Odom Ein Tzadik Bo'oretz, on this earth, that can only do good. In other words, the are tzaddikim that have separated themselves from this world. The are tzaddikim that are physically maybe in this world, but their life is totally uprooted. Their life is totally, completely, they are living in a different world. They are, for all intents and purposes, their feet are down here, but their minds are in Shemayim. These are people that have removed themselves successfully. They are people who are so spiritually charged that in such a high madrega that they are not really here on this earth. As one said, you know, 2 feet firmly planted in the clouds, you know, not down here. So, when the Pasuk talks about tzaddikim that have to sin, ein tzaddik bo'aretz she'yaseh tov, this is a tzaddik bo'aretz. Now, there are some tzaddikim who are still very much connected to this world. Yet, so now, but they are tzaddikim nonetheless, they are tzaddikim. So tzaddik was still connected to this world. So the Pasuk says, "Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechto." But there are, and there exists, a level of tzaddikim, very, very few, who they basically are not ba'aretz. They are not here. But they have separated themselves from the earthly lifestyle, totally, completely. And the male in such a situation, they are in such high madregas, they taka don't have to sin. They don't have to sin. That's just an interesting twist. And how to look at this pasuk in tzaddik baretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechto. The tzaddik that sometimes will sin if he's a tzaddik still ba'aretz. The tzaddik who still is connected very much to this earth. So this tzaddikim will sin, and so on and so forth. So Rabbeinu Yoyne very clearly has told us, Rabbi Yisai, that we find out that a person should not falsely console himself and say, yes, I have a few averas here and there, and sort of like pat himself on the back, but look, I got so many mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs you have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward you. There's no question. You'll get a lot of reward for each and every mitzvah. It's immeasurable. Even one single mitzvah in your life. Even one single mitzvah in life. Yeah, I think I mentioned in the past, but Rabbi Chana Wasserman, there was a sreifa, there was a fire in town, and which caused a lot of damage to many of the Jewish homes, and clearly, an appeal had to be made to be able to raise enough funds to rebuild. Those cheap homes were built out of wood, very cheap homes as they were anyway. And in order to do that, they had to appeal to the editor of a local newspaper to put in an ad in the paper that money is needed, funds are needed, and people should send their donations to rebuild the town that has been destroyed. This particular person was a Jewish person, but was very far removed from any Torah observance and so on and so forth. And he was quite successful in his life, very successful, as a matter of fact. And he once actually boasted through Bilchonon engaged in conversation with him because he needed the services, to place an ad in the newspaper regarding raising the money. So that's how he encountered this particular person. And once they met up with each other, so a dialogue took place between the two of them. And he boasted and said, look, he says, my entire life, he says, I never observed, at least to my knowledge, hardly anything. He says, certainly, I have no interest in anything that's Jewish. And yet, you see, Hashem does not punish me. Look at all the goodness that I enjoyed in my reaping, all the good tidings, and everything in my life just goes better than I could have imagined. I couldn't have written any better. And yet, he says, I have nothing to do with living my life as an observant Jew, as you, Rabbi Chanan, and many others like yourself, maintain. Now, Rabbi Chanan asked him one question. And he said to him, some say the name of the Chofetz Chaim. They asked him, he said, I want to ask you one question. In your life, your entire life, did you ever say once Amen in your life? Somebody made a bracha. Maybe you once came into a shul. Once in your life, maybe. Yes, it says when I was very young. I was in a shul. Once in my life, I was in a shul. A Jewish person, you don't go regularly, but once, maybe you're a Shoshana, maybe you're a Kippur. At least once. Once in your life. And when you were in shul, did you once say Amen? He says, yeah, I said Amen, maybe five times. So Bukhon said to him, for that one Amen that you said in your life, you deserve even much more reward than you can think of. For that one Amen, he says. That's why you're getting it, he says. The other things, there's another world that takes care of the other cheshbonos and the other things. But you're asking yourself, why do you deserve, why is Hashem giving you all these good things to enjoy? He says, because if you only said once Amen in your life, you probably said it five times, maybe even ten times. You have no idea the reward for one Amen or for any mitzvah. So that remains a fact and nothing can take away from that. But then there's the other side. But there's also the cheshbon and the accounting for the other things. So a person says to himself, I have so many mitzvahs. So I'm nichshol, he says, 20 times a day, you know, in one particular aveira, I'm nichshol, five times a day. But after all, I'm keeping all the other mitzvahs. He says, so the other person, we said before, but my neighbor is totally unobservant. He's not keeping anything. So we see here from Rabbeinu Yonah that the truth is, he says, that if that single aveira, and you repeatedly do that aveira 5 and 10 times, that's no different than your neighbor, whether he does one time, he eats chometz on Pesach, and then he eats Yom Kippur, and then he does the other thing. But if the total cheshbon can come out, you come very close, he says, to be the same type of a sinner as the other person. Very possible. But we're not even counting. The idea is to show that a single aveira that's repeatedly done over and over again has its consequences of doing many, many other different aveiras as well. So a person who bishita, a person who knowingly decides, I'm just not interested in one particular mitzvah, really is like he's abandoning 10 different mitzvahs, 5 different mitzvahs, 15 different mitzvahs, because that same aveira, when he does it 15 times, okay, abandon 15 mitzvahs, and so on and so forth. So he should not consider himself to be really such a frum person, and looking down against his neighbor, who he believes is not frum, but he is such a frum person. The idea is the attitude that we have to understand, that we have to at least be mekabel upon ourselves to do each and every mitzvah. If we slip, we should take the opportunity to do tshuva as soon as possible. And as Rabbeinu Yonah said, because even if it's one mitzvah that you decide to abandon, it's like the Eved saying to the Yodin, to the Master, I'm ready to do everything you tell me to do except one thing. The fact that one thing he's not throwing himself under his Master means he's not an Eved altogether. Because even what he does do, it's because he decided that's what he wants to do. So he's not doing it because this is his Master's instructions, that he must do it. He's doing it because he wants to do it, and he feels. This is not called an Eved. It's called someone who has removed the yoke of his Master from him. So I'd like to take a little bit on the sheet that we have, and see this idea of what it means, an Eved Hashem, what it means to be dedicated to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This piece that we have is a fascinating piece from Reb Chaim Shmulevich, in a maimer called Eved Hashem, what it means to serve Hashem. And we had Rabbeinu Yonah over here. He does not bring this particular Rabbeinu Yonah, but this exactly fits in the Rabbeinu Yonah that we've been learning now, that an Eved Hashem means that a person, being over, as we said, even the same Aveira, knowingly, willfully, he says, one Aveira, many, many times, you might as well be over 5 different Aveiras. It does not make a difference, he says. You have abandoned an Aveira, So you have lost the shame of an Eved. So we take a look over here. There's a fascinating Gemara. We start over here. There's a Gemara Masech Tesukeh, Dafnun Gimel. The Gemara says the Bishosh Shekara David Shittin. That when David HaMelech, basically on the Mokim of the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech, of course, you know, did not have the schus to build the Beis HaMikdash. It was Shlomo HaMelech, his son, who built it. But David HaMelech, actually, he bought the area from Aravno HaYevusi. So he bought the designated area upon which the Beis HaMikdash later was built. But David HaMelech did dig these special holes that represented where the Mizbeach, later in years, was supposed to stand. Because we know there's a mitzvah of pouring wine. Nisuch Hayayin, which is poured onto the Mizbeach. That wine was poured into a hollow corners of the Mizbeach that basically went all the way down, down, deep, deep, way, well into the ground. And those holes were dug by David HaMelech. There's a fascinating story that's told that David HaMelech dug just a little too deep. How deep did he dig? So the Gemara says, Bishosh Shekara David Shittin. When David HaMelech, basically, when he dug those holes, which are supposed to represent the holes where the wine poured upon the Mizbeach, the wine goes into those holes. So basically, he came down to the plug, to the Tohim, to the deep. To the deep is where the source of the world water is contained. So Kofa Tohimo. So basically, the deep, he sort of like pulled the plug, so to speak, where all the water of the world that's being contained and controlled, all of a sudden came flooding up, and threatened to flood the entire world. He hit a place so deep where he uncovered an area which kept the water in place. Once you unplug that area, so all the water comes sprouting forth uncontrollably. So David HaMelech saw that the world now is in danger. We have to do something. There's no way to humanly to be able to control it now. Now the world is in a situation which is being threatened to be flooded. There was one Eitzah. And what is that? Omar David. Me'ike, is there somebody who can actually answer the halachic question, the paskan the shayla? Me'ike de yode ishar lemichtev shem achaspa? Is there anybody here who knows if you're permitted to write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a piece of shard, on a piece of cheres, v'nishadji betoyme, because I know that's sort of like a Kabbalistic, you know, formulation. You write Hashem's name on a piece of cheres, and you put it in the tohim, and that'll hold the water. That'll contain the water. But the question is, if I write Hashem's name on a piece of cheres, it's threatened to be erased. There is a issa deraisa, there's a prohibition in Torah, you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. So he said, but maybe here to save the world, I'm allowed to. But I need someone to answer the question, whether it's permitted or not. And all the mafarshim ask, Akasha, this is pekuach nefesh. Pekuach nefesh is doiche kol ha-Torah rekule. So should it not be permitted? Mechikas Hashem at most is a laugh. It's just a loisese. And pekuach nefesh is doiche even Shabbos. So the mafarshim discuss that. We'll put that aside. So Omar Dovid, Dovid Melech said, call the Yod al-Meimer. By the way, so the Gemara says, Leke de Kamele Midi. Nobody answered. There was nobody who came forth to answer whether you're allowed to write Hashem's name on a piece of cheres, on a piece of earthenware, and utilize that to hold and to control the water of the world. So Madovet Sudovet said, call the Yoda Lameimar, the Eino Omer, somebody who knows the answer and doesn't come and say, Yechonik Begroino, that he should be choked. Now that Dovet HaMelech really gave him a curse. Nozach Hitoifel Kalvachoymer Beatzmech. Hitoifel comes forth and he makes a Kalvachoymer to say you're allowed to. What's this Kalvachoymer? He says as follows. When it comes to the area of the Soita, to making peace between husband and wife, to allow the woman who is suspected was unfaithful, we know that she has to drink the special water. Hashem's name is written. Right, Hashem's name is written on the Megillah of the Soita. You write the parish of the Soita and it's put into the water, which is going to erase Hashem's name. And the Torah allowed it, Hashem allowed it, in order to make peace ben ish lishtoy. So if it's only to make peace between two people, husband and wife, Hashem allowed his name to be erased in the water, to make peace in the entire world, to save the world, certainly. So Amra Torah, the Torah said, Shemi shenichta b'chidusha, my name that's written b'chidusha. He says, Yimoch alamayim, lazishol mechol oilam kol alachas kamah v'kamah, so certainly. So there was a question. Start out with a question. Whether you're allowed to write Hashem's name, because by putting it on a piece of cheres into the water, it's going to be erased. So it's a good question, a very strong question. The Sefer Aruch HaNer, the Sefer Aruch HaNer, we spoke about it this Shabbos Chanukah, not this Kasha, but the Aruch HaNer we spoke about. The Sefer Aruch HaNer, Hevi Lahakshis B'Shem Sefer Zayis Ranan. Zayis Ranan, by the way, was written by the Mogen Avraham in Parshat B'Shalach. Eich Kosav Moshe Rabbeinu is Hashem HaMefayrish. The question is that how is Moshe Rabbeinu? We know that Yosef HaTzadik, you know, that they hid the Ohr in the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik in the Nile River into the Nilus. in order that the Yidden should not be allowed to leave Mitzrayim, because the Shavua was, there was a Shavua that they don't leave Mitzrayim unless they take the bones of Yosef with them. Time came to leave Mitzrayim, but they couldn't leave because they didn't know where the Aron of Yosef was. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to figure out a way to be revealed, to know where it is. So what did he do? He took a piece of paper, so to speak, and wrote Hashem's name on it, put it in, and the Aron of Yosef HaTzadik came up. The Aron of Yosef HaTzadik came up from the water. The question is, how is Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to do it? By writing Hashem's name on a piece of cheres and so on, by putting it into the water, it would erase Hashem's name. That was the kasha that the Oracle there brings down, B'Shem Zayis Rana. Eich kosa Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem ha'mfeirish v'nosta l'toich ha'nilus, la'halis es haroyne shol Yosef. V'yesh b'kach mishu mechikas Hashem. K'nimuchi b'gimori kan, there's mechikas Hashem. V'yesh yetertzu, and some answer, mishim shoye Moshe Rabbeinu mushibol kach mipi Yosef. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was under oath to take and to take with him, so he's bound by oath that he must fulfill the wishes of Yosef to take his Aron, so come what may. But the answer is, he had an oath to take the Aron of Yosef. But how can an oath override an Aveira? How can the Shvua that administered by Yosef override the Isser of Mechikas Hashem, of erasing Hashem's name? That kasha stands. The whole oath is not valid to override, to do an Aveira. So again, by what right, even though he was bound by oath to leave Mitzrayim only with Aron Shel Yosef, but what was the heter to erase Hashem's name in order to bring this about? And Rabbi Chaim Shulevich says the following thing. And let me say it here by heart, and then just you'll see something. Chaim Shulevich says, this is before Matan Torah. This is before the Torah was given. Before the Torah was given, there were no formal mitzvahs or averis, technically speaking. But the Jewish people, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, were mekayim the mitzvahs, and that is, they knew the tremendous reasons and the accomplishments, all the tikkunim that a mitzvah, doing a mitzvah, all the positive benefits that come out of the mitzvah, so they did the mitzvahs voluntarily, and they kept the averis voluntarily. They refrained from averis voluntarily. But being that they were all done voluntarily, based upon benefit, they understood that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah, even though they were not mitzvah at that time, they were not commanded, it was before Matan Torah, but they knew that the reason for each mitzvah has tremendous benefits in Shemayim, down here, in this world and on the other world. So therefore, being that they were able to tap in, they were able to tap into the resources of understanding the Havonah, of all the tikkunim of the mitzvah, so they did it. But if, according to the Cheshm, if they made a cheshem that it's kedai, it's more worthwhile to do an aveira before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, to gain something on the other side, then they would be allowed to do the aveira. Why? Because there was no iser technically to do any aveira before Matan Torah. The reason that they kept the refrain from aveiras is because of the benefits keeping the aveiras. Doing the mitzvahs, because of the benefits doing the mitzvahs. But if more benefit comes out by doing a temporary aveira to gain something on the other side, before Matan Torah you could do it. The cheshbon was, it's kedai to be moichik Hashem before Matan Torah to gain Yosef HaTzadik's Aron to leave Mitzrayim. The ultimate gain. You shouldn't have to stay here. Without Yosef's Aron, they couldn't leave. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevich, but after Matan Torah, you don't make cheshbonis. You don't say it's kedai to do this aveira to gain another mitzvah. You don't play around with aveiras and mitzvahs. You have to follow the guidelines of the Torah. And you don't say, maybe it's worthwhile to do this little aveira so I can gain a tremendous mitzvah. We are not in control. We don't write the script of aveira is worth to do on account to gain another mitzvah. Cheshbonis, you're able to do calculations. Where does it come out better for Klal Yisrael, for mankind? That's only before the Torah was given. Because then it was done voluntarily. Once the Torah was given, we are like Avodim. It's like a slave saying to his master, you know what? You told me to do it such and such, but I think it would be better, maybe not to do what you said on this side, to gain something else on the other side. You're an Eved. You're an Eved. An Eved cannot make any Cheshbonis, says Reb Chaim Shmulevich. That is the difference. Let's take a look over here. Vizehu. Look at the paragraph Vizeh. Let's skipping that one paragraph. Vizeh. It's in the middle. It's exactly sort of like in the middle of the sheet. Vizehu klal godol b'toyre. Al ho'odom lishmoy v'lasois b'li kol cheshbonos. You don't make any calculations. Ele ke'evet she'ein loy ele mitzvahs raboy v'suloy. We are mekayim mitzvahs Hashem like an evet, nothing more. V'im yovoy ho'evet lachshav cheshbonos. Once an evet comes and he tries to make calculations, im lasois k'mitzvahs raboy v'suloy, if an evet would decide to make a cheshbon, whether it's worthwhile or not, Kvar porak oila doinov miolov. An eved who makes cheshbonis has removed the yoke of his master. Parei ben choyrim. That's a free person, that's not an eved. You cannot say, I'm an eved 99% of the time. 1% of the time I'm not. If 1% of the time you're not an eved, you're not an eved. Because why? Because you decided when you are an eved, when you're not. That's a free man. That's a ben choyrinis. That's not an eved. The gam cheshbonis or kvay shemayim b'chlau. You can't even make cheshbonis. I want, for the sake of kvay shemayim, I'm going to do an aveira. For the sake of kvay shemayim. You cannot do that. Even if the benefit is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, big Kiddush Hashem come out in the world, I'm going to do a particular Averit. Now there is a system, Eis Lazarus Hashem Averit Torisecho, but there's guidelines like that. It's not everybody's women fancy decide to do that. That's also a Pi'aloch and when you can do it, when you can't do it. But as a general rule, you cannot make even Cheshbonis of Kvod Shemayim, Ki Ho Oysa Al Pi'cheshbin, Al Das Atzmo Hi Oysa. Once you're doing Al Pi'cheshbin, then you're not doing Ratzon Hashem. You're doing what you want to do. You're saying I'm doing it in order that Hashem should come out ahead. But you're deciding how to do it with your own way, with the goal Hashem should come out ahead. Nobody gave you the right to do that. You don't own the mitzvahs. You don't own the mitzvahs. You have no right to change the mitzvahs. And therefore, whatever you're doing based upon calculations, then you're doing it on your own das, not al das Hashem, he says. For chaloyis al das atzmoy, enu eved is not called an eved. And that's basically reiterating the words of Rabbi Yoina. Let me just conclude and point out the following. When Rabbi Yoina tells us here how important it is, he says, a tzaddik, yes, from time to time might be nichshol. But however, once he realized it was choyt, he does tshuva. And that is the main point is, that once we realize that we slip, we have to do tshuva. A choshev erov, very choshev erov, I know the name, says that he once went into a hospital to be mevakeh choyle, to visit a particularly sick person. And he hears from a neighboring room. A neighboring room, he hears out of a bed, coming a tremendous cry. A cry from one of the rooms, and the cry was basically, it seemed that it was a daughter crying out. He says, Mother, Mother, please forgive me. This is the cry that came out from one of the rooms, from one of the hospital rooms. Mother, Mother, and again, Mother, Mother, please forgive me. He says, he heard that piercing cry, so the Rav says that he went into the room, from where the sound came out. And he realizes what's going on. He says, it was a frightening sight. The sight at hand was, the mother was lying on her deathbed. She was a goysis. She was in a moribund state. She may live another 10 minutes, maybe another half hour, and maybe just a few hours. She clearly was totally out of it. And the daughter, apparently, what it seemed, she did something against her mother, which she really regretted. But now it was the last moment of the mother's life, and therefore, she just couldn't just take this pressure that her mother should leave the world without asking for forgiveness. So she's standing there in front of her mother's bed. The Rav says this, I saw the daughter there, and she's crying out with this piercing cry. Mother, Mother, says, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And she's hoping that the mother will at least open up her eyes one last time. The mother will open up her eyes one last time to see her and maybe acknowledge, yes, I forgive you. But the mother was a goysis. She was on the way out. Her life was slipping away. Last minutes. She was not going to open up her eyes. But the Rav said, he says, my heart sunk, my heart melted, hearing, seeing how this daughter is begging and pleading, one last time, Mother, open your eyes, open, look at me. So the Rav said, I went out into the hallway, I took 3-4 people, went back into the room, we started saying Tehillim. Saying Tehillim, that the mother should open up her eyes one more time to allow the daughter to ask Mechila. And sure enough, he says, amazing, he said. Unbelievable. Her mother opened up her eyes. The daughter cried out, and she shook her head. And that Rav pointed out once, and he said, he says, this is our situation. Sometimes we realize only too late in areas in our lives, and sometimes we don't have the opportunities again to be able really to do tshuva. Whether it's Ben Odom L'Chaveiro, which was such a situation, a mother with a daughter, and so on and so forth. We have this chus of Baruch Hashem of being alive and being made aware, he says, by the great Svarim that we are looking into, that are constantly and continuously warning us and being moir us to realize that the Tzorech HaShoah Rabbeisai, sinning is one thing, but upon to take advantage of this tremendous matona to be able to do tshuva, and Bez Hashem, then we are zoiche to all of the brachas that the Baruch Hu promised for Israel.